Dreaming, we've been talking a lot about dreaming lately, but waking up to the God dreams that he's placed in our hearts. And the whole purpose of the dreams that God has given us is really to make Jesus known to the world and to share the love of God wherever we go. I hope that we have been able to in some way ignite something or inspire something within you that makes you believe again that God wants to work through your life, that God is able to work through your life, no matter how young you are, no matter how old you are, that God is able to work through your life and accomplish things that bring praise to his name. We have been looking at the importance of having a dream, and it's important to have some sense of what God wants out of our life. We have been looking at living with a dream. How do you live with that during the time period sort of leading up to when you can actually do it? We've been looking at what a dream costs. Last week we talked about the fact that dreams cost. This morning I want to speak about the goal of a dream. And just to give you kind of a quick text, Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 15 and 16, it says, "So the wall was completed on the 25th day of Elul in 52 days, and when our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God." As we have explored the story of Nehemiah, we have seen that God placed something in his heart. God placed in his heart a desire to build a wall around the city of Jerusalem or to repair the wall because it had been broken down and the people were in distress and were not in a safe place. And so God placed within his heart a desire to rebuild that wall, to fix the gates so the people would no longer be in distress. God has put things in your heart. I know God has put things in your heart. Many of you have talked to me about the things that God has put in your heart, and some of you have lived with that dream for a long time, and you have carried that around with you, and it's like you didn't know what to do with it or how to go about doing anything with that dream that God has given you. You wonder if it's ever going to happen. You wonder if it's ever going to take place. I want to encourage you this morning to continue to live out the dream that God has placed in your heart. But as we talk this morning about the goal of the dream, I want to encourage you to have in mind that thing down the road that you believe that is going to accomplish. It's not enough to just say, well, this is what I want to do, but it's also important to say, this is what I want to accomplish. This is what I want that dream to accomplish. So let's talk about this morning a little bit about what is the goal of our dreams. The goal of our dreams is to actually do the thing that God has placed in our hearts. Many people go through life with this sense that God wants to accomplish something in me, but they never get it done. It always seems to be just beyond their fingertips. It always seems to be just out there, just a little bit further. It's like a child reaching for a toy and a child that can just crawl it, and the toy always seems beyond their grasp. And many of us live our lives with that kind of a dream, with that kind of a sense that the thing that we believe God wants us to do is just beyond our grasp. But the goal of every dream is that we actually live it out, that we actually do it, that something actually takes place as a result of that dream. Abraham in the Bible wanted to live, and God called him to live in a land that flowed with milk and honey, and his goal was to get to that place. It was a prosperous land. It was the way to describe the fact that it was a good place. There were great crops. There was good provision. All of the things that he would need. Abraham lived with that sense that's what God wanted for him. Moses lived with a sense that God wanted him to bring people out of Egypt and into a land of promise. Nehemiah lived with this sense that the wall needed to be completed and the gates needed to be rebuilt. And the dream was there to provide a picture in their minds of what it was that God wanted them to do. Get one of those pictures? Get one of those pictures? For some of us, it might still be in black and white. But for some of us, it's in living, vivid color. And we know exactly what it is. And God speaks to us. And God has planted this thing. And we live in a sense of frustration almost because we don't have the opportunity to live out that dream. Or we haven't done it yet. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12, It says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. You ever experienced that? That heart sickness because you've never been able to live out the thing that you believe God placed there? You've never been able to do it. It's always like there's some reason why it didn't work. There's something that happens. Oh, I can't do it. There's something else. I can't do it now because of this. There's always this sense that you are not living out the thing that God has placed in your heart. But it says but it says here also that a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. And when you see that longing, that dream, that sense of what God wants you to do fulfilled, there is such a sense of fulfillment and satisfaction and joy that comes into your life, and you just go, yes, it happened. We have the Olympics coming to BC in 2010. The dream was that they wouldn't cost this much. I think everybody knew that was just a dream. But we have had athletes who have prepared themselves for 10, 15 years, whatever, for these particular games. They have always said, in 2010, in Vancouver, that's when it's all going to come together. And they have trained, and they have worked hard, and they have denied themselves, and they have sacrificed everything else in their life, and their parents have got up in the middle of the night to take them to things, to practice, and all of these things that were needed in order for the dream to happen. And for 30 seconds, they're going to live out their dream after 15, 20 years of preparation. But there comes that sense of, I did it. Some of you, the Times Colonist 10K is coming up. And there's not a hope on this earth that I'm going to run in it. So don't even think that's where I'm going, okay? God wanted me to know anyway. But some of you, I've talked to you, you did it last year. And some of you, it was the first time you had ever done it. And it was the first time you had ever worked so hard to get yourself ready. And it was the first time you ever endured that much pain to accomplish something. But when you finished, there was this sense of euphoria, this sense of fulfillment, this sense of, I did it. I did something that was in my mind, a dream that I had, and I did it. I accomplished it. That's what this verse is talking about. It's talking about a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. There's that sense of, yes, God helped me to do the thing that I had set out to do. What is that dream that God has placed in you, and what is that keeping that from becoming a reality? What is holding that back? What is stopping you from doing the dream that God has placed in your heart? I want to talk a little bit this morning also about how we can reach the goal of turning our dreams into reality. What are some things that we can do to reach that goal of turning our dreams into reality? Well, first of all, I think one of the things that we can do is we can write it down. That sounds really simple, but write it down. And I would suggest to you that if you can't write it in three sentences, you probably don't really know what it is. You know? Well, it would take me about 20 pages. So you really have no clarity as to what it is at all, because if it takes you 20 pages of rambling along to try and tell me what your dream is, you really don't know what it is yet. And so you need to find some clarity. Write it down, three sentences. What is your dream? My dream is. You don't have to explain everything about it, but my dream is, the goal that I'm looking forward to, the thing that I want to accomplish is this. And the reason I think it's so important to write it down is so that we can measure it to see. And we talked about this a few weeks ago. Can we measure it to see if we ever accomplish it? If you have 20 pages of notes, you will never know whether you accomplished that thing or not. But if you have three short sentences or one statement and say, this is my dream, it's very easy to measure that and say, have I done that? Or how far along am I on making that a reality? In the book of Habakkuk, God and Habakkuk are having this discussion. Habakkuk is not happy about how things are going, but then neither is God. The people are not serving God. And Habakkuk is discussing this whole problem and this issue with God. And God says to Habakkuk, I'm going to do something. And this is what I'm going to do. But he says to Habakkuk in chapter 2, verse 2, he says, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. He says, write it down. Write it down. It's too fuzzy if it's just up here. I have this great pastor friend. Her name is Debbie, and she is pastor at Chinese Pentecostal Church. And we have this ongoing discussion between the two of us when we go to like training things and stuff. And the instructor says, okay, I want you to write this down, and I don't see you writing anything down. And I said, Debbie, write it down, you know, like he wants you to write this down. And she goes, oh, it's all up here, it's all up here. So I said, so tell me what it is. Well, it's not that easy to explain. I say, write it down. And that's what I say about our dreams. If God has placed a dream in your heart, write it down. Get clarity on it so that you can write it down and so that you can know when you actually have accomplished that dream. For some of you, it may at this point only be the seeds of a dream. Maybe God is just starting to talk to you about something, but begin to write down even that I think God may be asking about this in my life. Beginning to plant some stuff in my life. So first thing is, write it down. The second thing is, make a plan. How are you going to do this dream? How are you going to fulfill it? How are you going to accomplish the thing that God wants you to do? What are some of the steps that need to be taken? Some people have this idea that we shouldn't plan, but rather we should just allow ourselves to be moved by the Spirit. I find it a lot easier to respond to the leading of the Spirit when I am well prepared. Most of the time, people say, oh, it looks like you never use it. I have this almost completely written out because that's my preparation for the week. In fact, in my office, I have probably 27 years worth of sermons in little binders up on a shelf because I pretty much write them all out. And I find the more I prepare during the week, the easier it is for me on Sunday to be led by the Spirit and to be prompted to go in a different direction that God wants me. I had a friend in my first church who said to me, Pastor, he wanted me to go golfing all the time. And so I said, I'm sorry, but I gotta work. Like, golf isn't work, you know. It's frustration, but But for a pastor, you know, some people think that, you know, he can go golfing anytime he wants. He's nothing else to do till Sunday, eh? And so anyway, I said, sorry, but I got to go work. You know, I got to go study. And he said, Pastor, you studied way too much. Just like open your mouth and God will fill it. I've heard some of those sermons. I didn't want to be there either. You know? But when I work hard during the week and I study and I pray and I read my Bible and I write down stuff, then on Sunday, and for those of you who sometimes are in both services because you're in worship teams or whatever, you know that second service can be quite different than first service. It's along the same theme, but it can be quite different because there are often times when I sense that there's a little different direction that need to go here and a little different direction there. But if I'm worried about, oh, what am I going to say next? What am I going to say? I can't hear the voice of the Spirit in those moments. But when I'm well prepared, then it's very easy to hear God say, you know, give that a little bit more emphasis in this service. Pull that back just a little bit. I believe planning is spiritual work. Planning is spiritual work. In Proverbs chapter 21, verse 5, it says, the plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty. The plans of the diligent lead to profit. If you plan well, you can expect things to go well. If you don't plan, don't expect. Okay? What is it? If you fail to plan to fail? Okay, something like that. And that's living out our dream. It's very much the same. I believe we need to plan if we want our dream to go well, if we want it to be prosperous. Look at Nehemiah's life. When God spoke to him, Nehemiah, for 3 months, sort of sat down, prayed, sought God. When it came time to go to the king, Nehemiah knew exactly what he was going to do. The king said, Nehemiah, like something's on your mind. What are you wanting? He goes, my city's in distress. Can I go back there? I want to rebuild the walls and the gates. I want to protect the people. And he had this plan. And so the king said, okay, how long are you going to be gone? And he said, I gave him a time. He knew how long this was going to take. And then he says, oh, by the way, king, I need a letter from you to get safe passage through this territory. And then he says, oh, by the way, I also need a letter from you because I want to go to the keeper of the king's forest and tell him I need some of his trees to make beams for my walls. When he arrived in Jerusalem, he didn't tell everybody why he was there. The first night he got on a donkey and he and a group of men went around the city and they looked at the whole city and they saw what needed to be done. And it was the next day that he said to the people, okay, this is why I'm here and this is what God has called us to do and here's the plan. And the people said, we like that, let's build. That's kind of my paraphrase of it, but that's what happened. And a plan will bring you to a successful place. And so I want to encourage you, make a plan. If God changes it along the way, let him. But at least have an idea where you want to go, what you want to do, how you want to do it. Make a plan. Number three, I believe we need to begin to take steps of faith. At some point in time, we actually have to do something. It's great to have a dream. It's great to write it down. It's even great to have a plan. But a lot of people never do anything. Watch this. Tommy Barnett, who is the pastor of 12,000 member church in First Assembly in Phoenix, Arizona, made this statement. He says, faith is not faith until you start to do something. Faith is not faith until you start to do something. He says, unbelief is expressed not so much by what we do, but by what we don't do. In other words, if we believe God, we will begin to take a step. That's called faith. But if we do nothing, that's called unbelief. Because we don't trust God enough that if we step out, he's going to be there for us. That if we step out, he's going to honor that. That if we step out, he's going to do what only he can do when we have done what only we can do. As you look through the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, you see listed person after person after person who in faith did something, who in faith took some kind of action. There is not one person recorded there who sat on their couch at home with their arms crossed and their feet up on the recliner and said, I have faith. But every person that is mentioned there did something. Noah built an ark. Abraham left his home. Joshua marched around Jericho. And the list goes on and on and on of people who did something because of faith. And if you want to see your dream happen at some point in time, you're going to have to do something. And I think many of us have not seen our dreams happen because we simply have never done anything to make them happen. We have had this great idea. We have had this great dream. We have believed it was from God. And we talk about it to people all the time. But we have never taken the first course we needed to take. We have never applied to go on a mission trip. We have never done anything to actually step out and begin to do something. And you know, God is not going to reveal the end to us at the beginning. God knows the end from the beginning. But what I have found in my life more than you know, God shows me, okay, you're going to end up there, is that as I have taken a step that God has asked me to take, then he opens up the next one. And he says, okay, now take the next one. And I take the next one, believing that he's in it. And he says, okay, here's the next one. And I take that one. And he says, now here's the next one. I think too often we're standing back here saying, okay, where's this all going to end up, God? Where's this going, God? You're like, you got to explain some things to me here. Kind of like Desi saying to Lucy, you got some splaining to do, God. You know? And the truth is, God doesn't have to explain himself to anybody. But he asks us to step out in faith and to say, how about you take this step and then I'll show you where you go next. James makes this statement in chapter 2, verse 17. Faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead, or it's no faith at all. There's not some kind of action. And so I want to suggest to you that maybe God is asking you to do something, and that's why your dream has never happened, because you've just never done anything yet. You've never been willing to risk something to take that first step. The fourth thing that I think we need to do, we write it down, make a plan, begin to take steps of faith, is all through the process, we need to stay connected to the presence of God. We often spend a lot of time praying in the early stages of a dream. God, what do you want me to do? God, how do you want me to live my life? God, what is it? Where is it? Why is it? How is it? All of those questions that we have, and those are great questions, great prayers to pray, but it's kind of when God nudges us in a direction, we stop praying. And what I find fascinating about the story of Nehemiah is that all through the process, he prayed. In chapter 1, verse 4 to 6, he prayed when he first heard the news about Jerusalem. In chapter 1, verse 11, he prayed when he sought God's plan. In chapter 2, verse 4, he prayed when he approached the king. In chapter 4, verse 9, he prayed when he faced opposition. In chapter 6, verse 9, he prayed when the people's strength was waning. And in chapter 11, verse 17, he prayed when they celebrated the completion of the job. It wasn't that every one of these stages, Nehemiah would run off in the corner, okay, God, I just need help here. But there was this sense within him of knowing where God was leading, and he's standing before the king, and the king says, what do you want? And it says, and so I prayed to the God of heaven. He just said, oh God, this is the moment I've been waiting for. Help me now. And he said, king, this is what I want to do. We need to stay connected to the power and the presence of God. We need to stay close to God. In our text, it says the wall was completed on the 25th day in 52 days, and that this was a work that God had done. We can't do the work of God in our own presence and power only, but we have to do it in the presence and power of God. We have to understand that God is asking us to do something, but he also provides us with the strength that we need to be able to do it. As we finish up this series on dreams, and we're heading in another direction next Sunday, if you notice this little insert in your bulletin, we're going to talk, it's February, Valentine's, and all that stuff. We're going to talk about home improvements, building relationships to last. But as we finish up this dreaming series, my hope, my desire, my sort of goal, my dream as I went into this, was that we could awaken within you the dream, the God dreams that he has for you. And for some of you who've had this sense of knowing that God wanted you to go someplace, do something, be something, whatever, maybe this is just a little to get you on the way again, a little kick to push you forward, just a little something to get you over the hump. I know that God has some dreams for our church. We are trying to explore those, pray through those, and we ask you to help us with that. I know also that God has some dreams for my life. I don't think that 4 months in Arizona has any part of that in the wintertime. Maybe for a little bit, but I just don't think that, I'm going to get in trouble here. I just don't think that at a certain age we just check out and say, it's now ready for the younger generation to do everything. I've done my part. I don't see that in here. Caleb was 80 years old, and God said to him, you know, I have a dream for you. And Caleb went to Joshua and said, Joshua, you know, Moses promised me some land. And the amazing thing about Caleb was he didn't say, there's a really nice, lush place down by the river there, and it looks like a nice place to build a retirement home. And you think maybe I could go there? What Caleb said is, there's this mountain over there, and there's some giants that live on that mountain, and I believe that God is going to give me that mountain. At 80 years old, he wasn't ready to check out. And I don't think any of us is ever called to check out and say, it's up to someone else to do it now, because I've done it all these years and I'm tired. I'm getting really personal, but that's just how I believe. I just believe that really strongly. And so I might as well say it. God, if you don't have a dream, God will instill one in you. If you have one, God will breathe fire and life into it if you will ask him to. And I believe that God wants to do some great things. God wants to do some great things. I said it in the first service, and I might as well say it again. There is so much talk in our world today about the bad economy, and I'm really sick of it. Because I think the more people say it's bad, the worse it's going to get. Somebody told me, Doug told me, that in Edmonton there's a radio station that they have chosen that on all of their commercials they will not say anything about bad economy. They will have ordinary people like you and I get on there and say, you know, we think things are tough right now, but we're going to make it. Can you imagine it's a secular radio station, right, Doug? They have decided that they are going to take a positive approach rather than complain about it all, the economy, you know. I believe that if enough people say things are going to get better, they'll get better. But then I don't know anything. I'm just a preacher, but that's just what I think, you know. I don't know anything about the economy, okay. But we just need to instill some confidence in people that life is good and God is going to, like, we still have it way better than 95% of the world, for crying out loud. Okay? Man. Where was I? But let's live out those God dreams in us. Let's approach life with a confidence and a boldness and a courage. Say, God, if you are in this, anything is possible. If you are in this, God, we can take mountains. We can do all kinds of stuff, God. All we know is that if you're in this with us, you've promised to be in us, that God, amazing things can happen when you're in it. Stand with me. Father, we want to dream your dreams. We want to dream the things that you place in our hearts. We want to be realistic, but at the same time, God, we want to be people of faith, confidence in you, and we want to live out the dreams you've given us. God, I pray for every person in this place that you would help them to not just have a dream, not just write it down, not just plan it, but God, to begin to move towards that, whatever it takes, God, to move towards it in your power and your presence. So, Father, we ask for great courage, great boldness, great faith, great confidence in a great God, that we can see great things done for your kingdom, that the treasure which is Jesus can be distributed into the lives of men and women around us because we believe that you are at work through us and you're going to do great and mighty things. Thank you for that, Father. We commit our dreams to you. We commit our lives to you, God. You can fill us with great dreams, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.